Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You know, Van Halen right there, and there are videos going around, and they have been for a couple of weeks, of former Van Halen frontman David Lee Roth performing live over the last couple of weeks in Las Vegas. He's doing a small residency there. And it's just awful. And it's everything that's wrong with the aging old rock star. His voice is bad. He looks like a cornball. It's absolutely awful. And you know, when you see video of that, you know, I was gonna put it on our website, bayou957.com, but it's so bad, it's so sad, it's so pathetic, I decided not to, much like the interview we did with him. I wouldn't put it on the show. He called in a few weeks ago. It was actually a little bit longer than that, but he called in to promote the fact that he was doing a Las Vegas residency. And he was so bad in the interview that I decided I can't put this over our airwaves. He's almost like a senile, confused old man. And we actually put the interview that when he called into our radio show here, we put that, it's on our website, bayou957.com. Just click on the John Osterlin Show, and if you go down on the right-hand side, see the David Lee Roth interview. It's next to a bunch of other interviews that we actually recorded and aired on our show. Because those other interviews that we got up there, they're good. But the one with David Lee Roth, it was so bad, we decided not to put it on our show. We'll leave it on the website there. And if you want to go hear a train wreck, you can go to our website, bayou957.com. Click on the John Osterlin Show. And then down on the right side, we have a bunch of interviews up there. One of them is David Lee Roth, if you want to go hear that nightmare.
How much were those tickets for that Vegas show? Do you recall? Was it like $300 or something like that for his residency?
Off the top of my head, Coleman, I'm not sure. I know the first night they were priced. The price was fairly high, but then after that first night, I think they crashed and they went down. And I think,
and he's under contract, so he has to keep going. They can't necessarily just pull him from the show, can they?
Yeah, it's everything that's wrong about an aging rock star. And it makes you look back now and think, boy, you know, bands like Led Zeppelin, they did it right. They didn't want to, once their drummer John Bonham died, they didn't want to keep going. And I mean, even though now you could find plenty of video of an aging, a very old Robert Plant still on stage, but he still can hit many of the notes, and he's not embarrassing himself like David Lee Roth recently did in Las Vegas. I mean, that's how bad David Lee Roth, his performance was. I mean, it's sad. And you know what it does? It tarnishes what he did in the past. It tarnishes classic Van Halen. When you see an old David Lee Roth on stage trying to sing songs like he used to, because I mean, Coleman, I remember being a kid seeing Van Halen and thinking that, my God, I mean, David Lee Roth just looked so cool. He sounded cool. And then you found out, you know, off stage, backstage, I mean, he was always an ass. He was always kind of a loser off stage, but the fact that he was the lead singer of Van Halen and the way he sounded and the way he looked, there was a myth there. Now, his offstage antics over the years, David Lee Roth I'm talking about, has hurt and diminished the myth of what Van Halen used to be. And what he just did over the last few weeks in Las Vegas destroyed the myth of what Van Halen used to be. You look at him, you're like, wow, look at this loser. Look at this old man trying to hit the notes that he just couldn't even come close. You know, and it's sad. And yesterday the news came out that Ozzy Osbourne announced that he had Parkinson's. But the way Ozzy Osbourne has been shaking physically since the 90s, you would have thought he had Parkinson's back in the 90s. I mean, you would have thought something is wrong with Ozzy Osbourne. But it's sad to hear him officially announce that he has Parkinson's disease. And anyway, I listening to that Van Halen song we just played, all I could think about is what a sad case of a human being embarrassing himself like David Lee Roth just did. And who knows? He's supposed to. He's going on tour, opening for Kiss on Kiss's 112th farewell tour.
I don't think they're going to go through with that after the whole Vegas deal.
As of right now, Coleman, he's still on the bill. But how could they bring that guy into an arena to open up for them when he just an embarrassment at this point? But David Lee Roth is everything that is wrong with the aging rock star.
If they go through with it, they're going to do the voice track deal where they kind of have somebody that sounds like him sing, and then they're going to play the track over the speaker and have him lip sync it like Madonna used to do, or Milli Vanilli, and just have him kind of lip sync it to make it sound like how he used to back in the day.
Well, if they do that, what's the point of even having him?
Exactly.
If he's not going to play live. All right, coming up next on the show. And if I sound a little bit bummed out this morning, the reason why I'm really, really bummed out and disappointed and angry at the city of New Orleans is the weather blew a tarp off of a dead body that's still in the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel here on Canal Street. That partially collapsed in October. We're at the end of January now. Not only is the building, that nothing's been done with the partially collapsed building, because we have people in the city that are in charge that have no idea what they're doing, and they're so far over their head when it comes to their job description. Even though that building, it's been over 3 months now. Let's see, October to November, November to December, December to January, yeah. A tarp blew off, exposing one of the two dead bodies. And so now there are legs, along with a crane, hanging off that collapsed building over Canal Street. There are legs, human legs, hanging over Canal Street. And our mayor and the incompetent fire chief who's been put in charge of this, who has no business being in charge of this, now they're just asking people, please do not take pictures of the dead body. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, we like to, we like to have fun on this show. We talk about all kinds of different stuff and try to have a good time every morning. This morning, it's going to be a little bit tough. Yesterday, I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed, and I saw a picture, and then I saw the same picture again, and then I saw the same picture for the third time, different Facebook friends posting a picture that I did not believe was real when I first saw it. I thought it was doctored. I thought it was Photoshopped. I thought it was one of those websites that pretended to be real, but it wasn't. And then I realized this picture that I'm seeing is real. It's not fake. It hasn't been Photoshopped. And the picture is of the partially built, partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel here in New Orleans on the corner of Canal and Rampart. And I'm looking at it. It's something that we've seen since October now, as we sit here at the end of January. It's a big eyesore here in the city of New Orleans. It's the partially built, partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel. But the only difference in the picture that I saw yesterday compared to the rest of them that we've seen is you see a dead body. Because there are two people whose dead bodies are still in there. And we've always been told that their dead bodies are still in there now, 3 months and counting, because it's too dangerous. If they try to remove the dead bodies, the two dead bodies, the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel could collapse more, and it could be dangerous to the people who are removing the dead bodies from when it originally collapsed. That's why the bodies are in there, and they've been in there since October. You know, that collapse killed three people, and two of the dead bodies are still in there. And what they did was, instead of removing the dead bodies, because they said it was too dangerous, they put a tarp over the dead bodies. Well, it was really windy over the last couple of days, really windy here in New Orleans, and that tarp was blown off, and that's how you see the dead body and then the legs from the dead body hanging over Canal Street. That's real. And from day one, if you asked me, the people who are in charge of this in the city of New Orleans, they don't know what they're doing. They're so far over their heads. And I'm speaking of two people in particular. Our mayor, LaToya Cantrell, who I call LaTweeta because she loves Twitter and she tweets this and tweets that, and she likes things on Twitter. But LaTweeta will not be tweeting or retweeting the picture of the legs of the dead man and the dead man's legs hanging over Canal Street this morning. And if you... So she's in far over her head when it comes to this situation and many other situations that the mayor of a major city needs to be in control of. She is so far over her head in this particular case. And then the person that she's put in charge, the goofy looking fire chief of the city of New Orleans, Tim McConnell, with that immense mustache that he's got. These two are so far in over their heads when it comes to this situation. And now we can see why. And they are asking people not to take pictures of the dead body, of the dead man's legs hanging over, dangling over Canal Street, right next to a crane that's dangling over Canal Street. Now you've got a crane and you've got a dead man's legs hanging over this. Could you imagine being a family member, a loved one of one of these poor dead men who are in that pile of rubbish sitting in New Orleans right now. I mean, we just had college football's national championship game that LSU ended up winning they here in the Superdome. We had that in this city. We had an extra, they said, 300,000 people come to the city for that game. And that eyesore, that macabre eyesore on the corner of Canal Street and Rampart, as if it wouldn't bad enough. I mean, we all knew that there are still dead bodies in there, but now because the wind blew and the tarp blew, now we can see the dead man's legs hanging over Canal Street.
Something has to be done immediately for a bunch of reasons. One, it is disrespectful to the family of that person that not only is the body still there and dangling, and it is kind of disrespectful that people are taking pictures of it and sharing it. But honestly, sometimes maybe that should happen so we can start taking immediate action by sharing it. So it's one of those bittersweet situations that it has to be a reminder that something has to be done. Mardi Gras is coming up. You know that's going to be an eyesore for Mardi Gras.
Well, Coleman, they rearranged the Mardi Gras parade route for the two parades that go by there, which are Endymion and Zulu. So they've rearranged the parade route for the Mardi Gras parade. But a question that you had, mm-hmm. Coleman, a question that I had, and a question that anybody else who could see what just happened there with the tarp blowing off. They said they put the tarp over the dead men out of respect. If you could put the tarp over the dead men, why can't you just take the dead men out of there?
Right. That was the first question I asked. And after thinking about it, I'm assuming they can't unless real official, either coroners or EMT staff, removes it themselves. I don't think employees of a contracting company have the right to do that. Somebody official has to do that, but it's too dangerous for city officials to go in the building. So, and that's the difficult part of it. So many intricate details in this and so many moving parts, it's hard to figure out a right way to do it. And I think it has to be done, but there is no right way to do it.
Well, it's time to do it.
Yes.
We can't be living in a city. I mean, we live in this city. I love New Orleans and the good, we're one of the great cities, not just in America, but we're one of the great cities in the world. That's why millions of people come here to visit New Orleans. We're a great city. Sure, we have our problems, but the good outweighs the bad. But right now, there's a dead man's legs hanging over Canal Street. And if you're able to put a tarp over that to cover that, why can't you remove the bodies? And the two people that we see that are in control here, LaToya, LaTweeta Cantrell, the mayor, and then the goofy-looking fire chief, Tim McConnell, with his big fuzzy mustache. He should shave that mustache and go cover those legs up with his mustache because his mustache is that big.
My theory is there are going to be some good Samaritans that's going to come out and do it themselves. They're going to say, screw the danger. We'll put our lives at risk. We'll volunteer, but we have to get these bodies out, like, immediately.
Coleman, I have absolutely no faith in the two people that are in charge of this right now that represent the city of New Orleans, and that's the mayor, LaTweeta Cantrell, and that's the goofy-looking fire chief, Tim McConnell. What did these people, they're in charge? How can you be able to put a tarp over a couple of dead bodies from that rubbish pile and not remove the dead bodies? Yet you're able to cover them with a tarp, you're not able to remove them. And so they're asking now people, please do not take pictures and please do not share pictures. And this is what they're delegated to do. To tell us not to take pictures and share pictures. Meanwhile, how long now? Well, the dead bodies have been in there for 3 months, over 3 months, and now the legs of one of the dead bodies are dangling over Canal Street. It's a pretty rough morning here in New Orleans, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Aerosmith making some news because their drummer, Joey Kramer, who has been out of the band due to injury recently, because Aerosmith has been playing a residency in Las Vegas, but unlike David Lee Roth, they're actually doing very well. They can still, they're aging rock stars who could actually still perform. Steven Tyler, the singer, can actually still hit the notes, unlike what's happening in another Vegas residency with David Lee Roth, who's embarrassing himself. Can't hit the notes. But the drummer, Joey Kramer, not only an original member, he's the one who came up with the name Aerosmith. Their drummer, Joey Kramer, did. Well, he's been out of the band due to injury. They've had a fill-in drummer. He wants to rejoin the band this weekend because they're playing the Grammy Awards, and they have a couple of other big things they're doing for their 50th anniversary of their band. He's suing them now because he says they won't let him back in the band. He says they say that he can't drum as well as he once did, and that's why his drum tech has been filling in on drums. But he says he can play. He's recorded an audition tape that he says proves that he can play. And the fact that they made him do an audition tape, he's upset about that. Again, he's been with them from day one. And so we'll see how that turns out if they let him back in the band to play at the Grammy Awards. He's not happy, and he's upset that he had to do a demo tape to get back into a band that he helped form, a band that he named. And evidently he had a shoulder injury and an ankle injury. And Aerosmith, the rest of them say it affects his drumming, and that's why they have a backup drummer in there right now. He is suing them to try to get back in the band. It's sad to see something like that happen.
I would have said it's for your own safety. You don't want to go out there and go too wild in the Grammys, then you re-injure your shoulder. That would look bad on live television.
But he says, Coleman, he can play. Joey Kramer, the drummer, says he can play. But the other guys in Aerosmith, they're not letting him back in right now. Now it's in the legal world.
Well, Zion's been saying he could play for weeks.
Zion Williamson will be playing tonight on ESPN. He finally, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, finally makes his debut tonight in New Orleans. We'll talk about that coming up, and hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show on a pretty unbelievable morning here in the city of New Orleans. It's in October, the partially built Hard Rock Hotel collapsed on the corner of Canal Street and Rampart Street. And as we sit here now in late January, not only is that pile just still sitting there, and from day one, look, three people died when this happened. Two of the dead bodies are still in there. And over 3 months later, not only are two of the dead bodies still in there, and not much has changed with that big eyesore, that pile of rubble there. But yesterday, wind blew a tarp that they had used to cover up the dead bodies. The wind blew the tarp off of the dead bodies, and now we can see the dead bodies. This is over 3 months later, 3 months after the collapse happened. There are a dead man's legs dangling over Canal Street this morning as we sit here. We saw the pictures going around yesterday, and I didn't even think the pictures were real. I thought somebody they photoshopped them or made them up, but no, they're real. And it makes you wonder if they're able to cover up the dead bodies with a tarp that has since blown off because of the wind. If they're able to cover those bodies with a tarp, why aren't they able to get the bodies out of there? And now the city of New Orleans is asking people, please do not share those pictures out of respect to the dead men's families and loved ones and friends.
And I can agree with that.
No, I'll agree with that, Coleman. But how could it be over 3 months later, nothing has changed with that pile of rubble, and they can't get the bodies out of there? They're able to cover the bodies with a tarp, yet they can't get the dead bodies out of there. Could you imagine if that was your loved one?
Texas said it's bureaucracy. That's what's really taking so long. They're trying to find the best solution, and They're overthinking it. They're overanalyzing it. They're thinking about the demolition of the buildings, of the implosion. They're thinking about the time constraints. They're thinking about the fight with the Vu Correa.
Get the damn dead bodies out of there. We have a mayor, LaToya Cantrell, who I call the tweeter because she loves to tweet. She retweets. She is so far in over her head. She doesn't know what to do. The person she's put in charge here in the city over that mess is the fire chief, Tim McConnell. He obviously has no idea what he's doing in this particular case. They say they're calling the experts. They cleaned up Ground Zero faster than they're getting. And I'm talking about after 9/11 in New York City up there. They got a lot more done a lot faster there than they've gotten anything done here in the 3 months since this has happened.
And that's what I think the issue is. I think the experts that they called are trying to make recommendations, but they have to fight with the city. Like, I don't know if that's a good idea, and they're trying to meet in the middle some sort of way. Instead of letting the experts do their job, they're trying to use bureaucracy to stop the experts from doing certain things that probably could work, but they have to consider this and consider that, consider the time constraints, consider the buildings that may be imploded, consider the safety. They don't want the building to collapse if people go up there. That's what they're trying to consider.
Well, look. We know our mayor is in over her head in this particular. She has no idea what to do. So she puts the fire chief. Look, he may know how to put out fires, and he may know about fires. What does he know about a partially collapsed building that he's now in charge of when there's dead bodies? It's been over 3 months. There's a dead man's legs hanging over Canal Street this morning. You're telling me with the technology we have in the year 2020, this has to be a first in American history that dead men are laying in a pile of rubble in a major American city for over 3 months. This has to be the first time in American history that this has ever happened, at least in the last 100 or 200 years with the technology we have. There's a dead man's legs dangling over Canal Street, one of the busiest streets in New Orleans, in a major American city this morning.
And this would be a great test for the competency of the of our city council and our government. Right now, they're, like you said, there's a body up there. If they don't get this body down before today is over with, something, do anything. If they don't do something with this before today, or at least I'll give them till the weekend. It's Wednesday? I'll give them till Saturday, but something has to happen like now.
There's two dead bodies.
Yes.
One, we can see the legs dangling over Canal Street. This is over 3 months after this incident happened, this collapse happened of the where they were building the Hard Rock Hotel. And do you have, I mean, I have zero faith in our mayor and our fire chief being in charge of this.
Yeah.
I mean, we have drones. We have technology. How are we able to take a tarp and cover up a dead body but not remove the dead body? If you want to text us, please do. Keep them short and sweet and to the point. If you want to put your first name or your initials at the end of the text, please do. If it's good, we'll read it on the show. Are you as sad and mad about this as I am? You can text us at 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving.
Standard data and message rates apply.
It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. We like to have fun shows, and we talk about all different types of stuff. This morning is making it that nearly impossible on this morning's radio show when there is a dead man's legs hanging over Canal Street, dangling over Canal Street, over 3 months after this incident happened. What the hell is going on? We don't have the leadership, obviously, that knows what to do, that can handle this. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. Communist China's economic growth has sunk to a 30-year low. As a result, Chinese unemployment, the unemployment rate in China has risen to a staggering 12% among 8-year-olds. Really high for that demographic over there. Coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we hope you'll stick around for that report. Suck is next, here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Time for us now to look at today in history. And we call the segment...
Hey, yo, why today doesn't suck?
January 22nd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1984. Apple's iconic 1984 commercial aired during Super Bowl 18. During a break in the action... Today in 1984, audiences first see a commercial that is now widely agreed to be one of the most powerful and effective commercials of all time. Apple's 1984 commercial, featuring a young woman throwing a sledgehammer through a screen on which a big brother-like figure preaches about the unification of thought. And it got people around the United States talking and heralded a new age for Apple, consumer technology and advertising.
You know what's the irony of that?
What's that?
Apple's probably going to be the reason everybody does conform and is being watched by Big Brother. See, I remember that commercial. She threw the thing on the screen and everybody was disconnected from a so-called spell where everybody was thinking on one dimension and being watched by Big Brother. Now, with all these iPhones and Apple Watches and tablets, Big Brother has the best eye on us now than ever.
Isn't that something, Coleman? January 22nd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 2008. Actor Heath Ledger dies of an accidental prescription drug overdose. He died in New York City at the height of his career. And... remember the Olsen twins were involved in that? They, one of them or both of them, I don't know, were hanging around and then they wouldn't cooperate. And, but that was sad. He was the Joker.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger. January 22nd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1972. David Bowie came out as bisexual during an interview with the British music weekly Melody Maker. That rag. That was a pretty big deal for 1972 for a guy to say, well, I like doing sex with women and men. And David Bowie did that today in 1972. January 22nd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1966. The Beach Boys recorded the song Wouldn't It Be Nice? And what a great song. And that would be the opening track on their album, Pet Sounds, which was a very influential album. And most people would say the Beach Boys' best album. And we talked about the Beach Boys last week. Some say they're the greatest American rock and roll band ever when you look at the album sales and things like that. And we brought that up because the Beach Boys are one of the bands playing this year at Jazz Fest. But they recorded that song, Wouldn't It Be Nice. What a beautiful song that is. And finally, January 22nd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1973. Roe v. Wade is decided. One of the biggest Supreme Court decisions in the United States history. The landmark decision established a woman's legal right to an abortion. The court ruled in a 7-2 decision that a woman's right to choose an abortion was protected by the privacy rights guaranteed by the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And obviously that was a very big deal. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people to this day that aren't happy with that Supreme Court decision that happened today, way back in 1973.
A lot of people were afraid that Brett Kavanaugh was going to try to overturn that decision, but Brett Kavanaugh hasn't even touched that issue yet.
Hmm. And that's the segment that we call...
Hey, yo, why today doesn't suck?
All right, come on up on the show. We're going to get to some of your texts regarding what we've been talking about earlier. It's an unbelievable story that if you saw any of the pictures yesterday that were going around online, I thought they were Photoshopped. When I first saw them, I didn't think they were real, but they are real. It is true. As we sit here right now this morning in New Orleans, the legs of one of the dead men who died in the Hard Rock Hotel collapse, one of the dead men's legs are dangling over Canal Street this morning because a tarp blew off because of the wind. And it makes you wonder if they could cover him up with a tarp, why can't they remove that dead body and the other dead body that have been in there now for over 3 months? It's unbelievable. Stay tuned for more on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So we've been talking about the horrific story and the pictures that we saw yesterday that I thought were Photoshopped. I didn't think they were real. But no, they were real. And the pictures of the one of the men who died when the Hard Rock Hotel that was partially built partially collapsed over 3 months ago. It killed three people. Two of the dead bodies are still in there. And then yesterday, all of a sudden, pictures were going around the internet of one of the dead men's legs. You could see, and again, I didn't want to believe that that was real, but it was real. And evidently a tarp that was covering that man blew off because of the wind. And now we have the legs of one of the guys who died dangling over Iberville Street. This is unbelievable. Again, that the fact that it's been over 3 months and those two guys are still in there, now we can see one of them. The city of New Orleans has asked people, please don't take pictures of that and share pictures of that over the internet. But our mayor, LaTuita Cantrell, completely over her head here. She put the fire chief, Tim McConnell, in charge of this whole thing. I mean, the guy, I'm sure he's great putting out fires, but he doesn't know what he's doing in this particular situation. And how has it been over 3 months? Not only that they're still there, but now we can actually see one of the dead men. Could you imagine being one of their relatives, one of their family members, one of their friends? And with the technology we have in the year 2020, if they can actually put a tarp over these guys, how come they just can't get the guys out of there? It's beyond me. And we asked you to text. Coleman, we got a few texts over there?
Yeah, some pretty good ones. Warren agrees with you about the tarps. Now, Lee from Picayune has an interesting take. He said there's a good possibility that the bodies are actually stuck and will require some sort of engineering and extreme safety to remove, although he does agree that it's been 90 days and something should happen. Kathy B. says it's shameful, and we should call Rudy Giuliani since he handled 9/11. We have some text in Peace the Mayor. Now, David G. says, out of respect of the families, don't share the photos. How about... out of respect for the family, we take care of the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we got. Yeah, and Jeff and I kind of agree with this. He says, why don't we bring the Coast Guard in with the helicopters? You know how they have the baskets whenever they're doing rescues for other hurricane type situations. We have that type of technology too. So why not bring in Coast Guard helicopter type deals with the little safety basket and bring in some drones and some robots to go in and retrieve the body if that's a possibility. What else?
I mean, think about it. It's been over 3 months, going on 4 months now, and not only are the bodies still there of the two dead men, now we're looking at one of them. I mean, with all the technology we have in the year 2020, you're telling me that there's not a way to take care of that?
Jennifer has a very interesting take, and I think this makes the most sense. She says, "I'm thinking the reason why the Hard Rock has not been torn down is due to a lack of money." And I've been to Vegas a few times, and there's still abandoned buildings in Vegas that should be demolished, but they're not because the people in charge of those buildings who own it can't afford the demolition. So they'd rather pay the taxes of the building sitting there empty instead of paying for the demolition of the building. So that does make some sense about why it may take so long.
Look, they've been going back and forth on how to do this between the city of New Orleans and the company who was building this building. And again, going on 4 months later, still haven't gotten anywhere.
All right. This is kind of lowbrow, but it does make sense. Antoine says, if those were statues, they'd have been removed.
Yeah, put a couple of Confederate statues over there. They would have been down already.
But everyone else, you know, Mason, Warren, we see you. We just show it on time. But these are all great texts. Charlie.
Thank you for your texts. We appreciate it. And we'll continue with this. There's other things we want to get to this morning, but and look, I try to be happy and fun every morning. That's what we do here on this radio show. This morning is very difficult, though. Living in the city that I live in and that I love, New Orleans, for this to be happening right now, where you can drive down Canal Street, Rampart, Iberville, and you look up and you see one of the dead men who died in the Hard Rock Hotel partial collapse. You see their bodies now. You see the body hanging over the street. It's inconceivable and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, one good one just came in. Jessica says they probably cannot touch the bodies because of ongoing litigation and spoliation of evidence. So that's a possibility too.
Boy, oh boy. And there are some other things we're going to get to this morning on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's a very frustrating day here in the city of New Orleans. And I don't know if you're as mad as I am about the whole situation with the dead body hanging out of the Hard Rock Hotel, the collapsed Hard Rock Hotel, and I just wonder how long it's going to be there. I mean, they've already, and look, this, they were building the Hard Rock Hotel, and it was about halfway done, or maybe a little bit more than halfway done, and then it collapsed, partially collapsed. This happened back in October. We're sitting here now at the end of January. Not much has changed. It's still sitting there. It killed three people when it happened in October. Two of the dead bodies are still there. Yet they were able to cover them with a tarp. And then yesterday, the tarp, because of the weather, blew off. And now all of a sudden you see the legs of one of the dead men dangling over Iberville. And, you know, when I saw those pictures yesterday, I thought, what are people doing? What's wrong with people? These are sick people photoshopping pictures like this. But then all of a sudden we realized they weren't photoshopped. And then the city of New Orleans came out and released a statement saying, yeah, that's all true, everything I just told you. Please do not take pictures of that, and please do not share them on the internet. That's we don't do that here in New Orleans. That's not a New Orleans thing to do. And I still can't believe that as we sit here this morning, that there's a dead man's legs hanging over that partially collapsed hotel that collapsed almost 4 months ago.
Yeah, and over the weekend, they said they were going to try to do a controlled implosion. That's what they're going to try to attempt. The thing is, that controlled implosion may have to incorporate three other buildings adjacent to the Hard Rock Cafe. Now, I haven't got word whether they're going to do the implosion while the bodies are still in there or they were trying to retrieve the bodies prior to them doing the controlled explosion. But their main concern is, of course, Mardi Gras and hurricane season coming up. Something has to happen with this building before hurricane season. I mean, if the wind blew that tarp out, now there's a body thing. If a severe storm comes through, who knows what's next? And now you have to consider, I hate to say it, the birds. The tarp has uncovered the body, and the later the day goes on and it gets warmer, birds may see the body. And, you know, it's a horrible situation.
Coleman, they have changed their plans a few times. They've gone back and forth with how they're going to handle this. But yet we're sitting here now going on 4 months since this happened, and they've handled nothing. Nothing has been handled.
This should be a clear sign that they need to stop playing around with trying to make the right decisions and go with something. We know whatever they come up with isn't going to be perfect. No situation like this is. We have to accept that reality. Whatever plan they come up with is not going to go 100% as imagined, but something has to be done no matter what.
But how could we possibly be sitting here almost 4 months later? Not only has nothing happened, it's gotten worse. I mean, think about September 11th, 2001. Going on 4 months after that happened, you know how much more they got done in New York City than they've gotten done here in New York? They've gotten nothing done. Nothing. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse in going on 4 months. Yeah. And when you see our mayor, LaTweeta Cantrell, I call her LaTweeta because LaToya loves to tweet. She retweets. She likes things. She tweets this. She tweets that. But when you look at her, she has no idea how to handle this situation. Completely over her head. The man here in the city who she put in charge of all of this is the fire chief, Tim McConnell. He may know about fires and how to put them out. He didn't know much about this. Again, we're going on 4 months. Not only has nothing happened, it has gotten worse.
It's the bureaucracy. It's bureaucracy all in all. That's what it is. Because even after Hurricane Katrina, it took us a few years, but that was a major hurricane. And now the city's looking better since then. You know, so it's possible that whatever happens, we're gonna recover, we're gonna recuperate, we're going to be better. It's just we have to do something.
I cannot believe, as we sit here this morning, there's a dead man's body dangling over the side of a partially collapsed hotel here in New Orleans, on the corner of Canal and Rampart.
And to address one of the texts, we're not trying to be morbid. We're not trying to put a highlight on the situation. We know there's going to be some people that are sick, and they're going to go there on purpose and try to do the exact opposite of what's right. And that's just part of the situation. But we're not trying to be morbid. We're trying to bring awareness to the situation so the city can do something.
This is an unbelievable story. They were able to put a tarp over the dead bodies to cover them up months ago. Now the tarp blows off. If they're able to do that, if they're able to put a tarp over the body, how aren't they able to get the bodies out of there? Could you imagine being one of the relatives of one of those two guys up there? Why? Someone on the text said we're being morbid. I am so upset about this. Usually we have fun on this show. We like to have a good time, talk about all kinds of different stuff. But it's hard to talk about anything else, Coleman, when there is literally a dead body hanging over a main street here in the city of New Orleans this morning and yesterday.
Jay said there are still some blighted houses 15 years later after Katrina, which is true, but it's not in the middle of Canal and Iberville, you know, and most of the bodies have been recovered since then. What else we have over here? Yeah, but a lot of people just say it's totally unacceptable. There's other factors. That's why the tarp was only, you know, they was only able to put the tarp in because there were other factors involved. There's a guy who says he's an engineer. He worked in construction for years, and safety is still an issue. Because I really don't know. Maybe I missed it. Why the building collapsed in the first place? So it's still probably unstable. Any false move can make it collapse even further.
It collapsed because it wasn't built properly. Mm-hmm. Because they it looks like in the early investigation, the company building the building didn't go through all of the city codes, and they didn't go through everything they were supposed to go through.
So with that being said, there's probably still some fragile aspects to that building that we don't know about yet because it's too dangerous to go in. And one of the texters brought up that if that's the case, send in some drones or some robots. Now, maybe it is one of those situations where it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, where one false move can collapse the whole building, and it's not a controlled implosion. It just collapsed on its own, which might be detrimental to the surrounding area. So they want to go with the controlled implosion so it can be controlled. But once again, speed and haste is a factor now. Something has to happen.
I just have a tough time buying the fact with all the technology that we have here in the year 2020 that a building, a partially built hotel, could partially collapse almost 4 months ago, and nothing has been done yet, and the two dead bodies are still in there, and one of them now is dangling over the side of the building for all the world to see.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
It's unbelievable.
Let's be honest with ourselves. Do you think we can do better if you and I were in the position of the fire chief and control? Like, it's not all her fault, but do you think, honestly, like, I know we're frustrated and we want something to happen, but if we were in their positions, can we do better, or are there factors involved that we haven't considered that would cause us to?
If I was in their position, I would find someone who would know how to handle this situation. And they haven't done that yet. There are people out there that could handle the situation.
There are probably people out there offering to handle the situation. So, I want to go up there with a wheelbarrow and a hard hat to just do something.
It's a very frustrating morning this morning here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Did you see where the first coronavirus here in the United States has made news? It's in the Pacific Northwest.
Came from China, yeah.
Yeah, they came from Asia. Yeah. But the very first coronavirus is out in the Pacific Northwest, in Washington State. I'm not worried about the coronavirus. I drink a Beta. So I'm glad I got that going for me. Coming up next, tonight is a night a lot of people around these parts, around New Orleans, have been waiting for a long time. And not just people around New Orleans. Sports fans from all over the country. Tonight, and it's happening in New Orleans. That's next. We'll tell you about it here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. A big night in New Orleans tonight as the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, last year's draft, Zion Williamson, makes his debut with the New Orleans Pelicans. Yes! Tonight. And this is so big that ESPN is showing this game, and because of that, it's a late tip-off. It's an 8:30 tip-off time tonight at the Smoothie King Center here in New Orleans. That's how big Zion Williamson making his NBA debut is tonight. And it's so exciting. Again, he's the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Last year, he came out of Duke after his freshman year. Do you remember the big party we had here in the city on draft day? That's the first time we ever had a bash like that, NBA draft day. It looked more like a Saints gathering here in the city, the Zion Williamson draft party that we had. There were tons of people on that memorable day. And I'm so excited to watch the game tonight. I may go, because I don't live far from there. I can just walk down the street. And I was looking at ticket prices on the websites that they have the secondary ticket prices where you can go buy tickets, whether it's SeatGeek or StubHub. And they still have some tickets way upstairs, high up in the 300s, that are in the $20 to $25 range. They have a few left. And what's interesting about that is those tickets before Zion Williamson was ready to play, those tickets were going for literally $4, $5, $6, $7, $8. But now they're in the, I see some in the $20, $22, $23, $24 range, and that's right now. And, you know, that's something, that's a ticket stub you'd want to keep, because you could always be able to say, it was Zion Williamson's very first game in the NBA, and he's expected to do spectacular things.
You don't never get the overhype anxiety, like that skepticism you have when something's overhyped too much and they blow it all out of proportion before the event actually happens. And then when it actually happens, it becomes underwhelming because it's overhyped. Just like the lottery when we won the draft and Zion came to New Orleans. It was a big old bash. Then he gets injured and missed most of the season. So just the hype that ESPN's going to adjust his time slot and move things around, and ticket prices are skyrocketing for this guy to debut. When this thing starts to get overhyped, I start to get scared and skeptical,
Well, Coleman, him hurting his knee before the season started, him hurting his knee in preseason sucked.
Yes.
And the Pelicans had to wait until tonight so we could finally see him play. But it's not just us here in New Orleans that's excited, because this is a guy. This is a once-in-a-generation guy. That's what they're saying. He, no number one overall pick had this much attention and this much fanfare since LeBron James when he came out of high school.
That's the skeptical part about it. You're giving this guy all this hype. I just hope he lives up to the hype. We're giving him big shoes to fill tonight. We're expecting this explosive performance because he's debuting, and we're expected to see something exciting. And something weird might happen before the tip-off.
Well, he's making his debut tonight, and it's such a big deal that ESPN is showing it, and it's a late tip-off for ESPN. That's why they're not tipping off till 8:30 tonight here in New Orleans. I am very excited to watch Zion Williamson play. And here's a guy, he turns around franchises. He's that type of a player. And what's interesting, even though the Pelicans have been stinking this year, they're, 9 or 10 games under 500, they're still only about 4 games out of the last playoff spot with a lot of basketball left to be played. And but the future really does look bright with Zion Williamson, the new general manager, the new guy who's in charge. This is... It's very, very exciting.
You think Zion carries a fake ID when he's going around the city? You know, he's still, 19, 20 years old?
Well, he's not old enough to drink in bars yet, but what do you think? A fake ID is going to work with Zion Williamson? What's he, 6'10", 6'9", and how much does he weigh?
He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, and he's got a baby face, and just so excited to watch him play tonight. I do want to go. I mean, I'm a little bit bummed out that it's such a late tip-off on a school night, because we got to get up early to do this show. But just to have a stub that says, I was at Zion Williamson's very first NBA game.
Well, do that. Buy the ticket. Go see as much of the game as you could. Keep the stub and go back home when you can and watch the rest of the game on TV.
And one other quick thing. Joe Burrow, LSU quarterback, has signed with the same legal representation as Zion Williamson and Drew Brees. And so what's interesting is, you know, I've called that agency a few times to try to ask them if they handle radio people, but I have a problem with my phone, because every time I get through and they say hello, once I start talking, all of a sudden the phone goes dead. I got to check my cell phone plan. I've had some issues with my cell phone there lately. So, hey, coming up on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Did you see they just unveiled the world's largest Snickers bar in Texas the other day? And it's a Guinness World Record for the largest candy bar ever. It is 4,728 pounds of Snickers greatness. It's 12 feet long, 24 inches high, and 26 inches wide.
We're still talking about the Snicker bar, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the equivalent of 43,000 regular-sized Snickers bars. I love Snickers Coleman. I mean, that's why I got to watch my sugar these days, because I enjoyed things like Snickers a little bit too much in my past. You know, it's incredible, and I guess they're gonna show this during a commercial during the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But as far as Guinness is concerned, it has to be edible, and it has a criteria that it has to live up to, and this 4,728-pound Snickers bar has lived up to all of the Guinness World Record criteria. It's edible, and it looks delicious. And are you a nougat fan?
No,
because you got chocolate, you got peanuts, and you got nougat in Snickers. And I'm a big nougat fan.
I'm cool with the chocolate and the peanuts, not necessarily the nougat or the caramel.
And Snickers nougat is made of ground almonds, so that the almonds make a paste that is mixed with the honey, sugar, egg whites to make a very creamy form of nougat. I think nougat is one of the more underrated ingredients, not just in Snickers, but in anything you want to put nougat in. Big nougat fan. So, hey, we're breaking records all the time, and here's a record for the largest Snickers bar ever. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's just after 8:35, it's the time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Are you familiar with TikTok? TikTok, it's one of the latest forms of social media. TikTok, weird TikTok trend has men dipping their testicles in soy sauce to taste it. Because of a groundbreaking study that was done in the year 2013 of how mice can taste with their testicles.
Okay.
Well, that study has now resurfaced online. And there are some people, some guys that say, well, if mice can taste with their privates like that, why can't we? And so now some guys are going on the app, the social media app, TikTok, and they are dipping their testes into soy sauce. And because they want to see if they're like mice, because if mice could taste stuff that they tested on their testes.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Why can't human beings, Coleman? And I saw a couple of these videos. The guys aren't really tasting the soy sauce or a different type of hot sauce, but they can definitely feel it. And so this is a new trend.
God.
Look, how many stupid trends, how many dumb trends have we seen on social media?
You know what? This makes the tie-dye eating thing looks pale in comparison. Oh, man. It's taste buds. It's not tested balls or whatever it is. You know, we're not mice. We're not rats. That's dumb. That's probably the dumbest thing I heard since we've done this segment.
Well, that groundbreaking 2013 study of how mice can taste with their testes, it resurfaced, and a TikTok user named Reagan challenged all of his male social media users to, quote, please dip your bleeps into something because it's for science and I must know.
I think he was just fascinated with the concept, and he was trying to use that as an excuse to peep out male sex.
Well, Coleman, a lot of TikTok users were eager to lend their scrotums to science.
This is impossible.
Because there's a lot of guys now that are dipping them into. I know you can call them nuts, because they are. But they're dipping them into hot sauces, soy sauces, different types of sauces to see if they're like the mice and they can taste that way.
It makes you wonder how many in a control group does it take for them to finally reach a hypothesis and a theory on their conclusion.
One of the viral videos of a male TikTok user dipping his testes into hot sauce. And it was a little bit too hot, and you could tell he was feeling it. It's racked up over 800,000 likes. It's not just that people are doing it, but then there are many more who are clicking like, thumbs up. Way to stick your nuts into that hot sauce, and it's an entertaining video.
Beta males, has to be, right?
Well, you could just add this to the list of dumb social media trends. This is the latest, and Lord knows to see what the next one's going to be. But the weird TikTok trend that has men dipping their testes into different types of hot sauces so they could taste it, like the mice did back in that groundbreaking 2013 study. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So yesterday, Derek Jeter was voted into Baseball Hall of Fame. Not a surprise. Yeah. Do you know that there's a lot of Yankee fans who have sons, grandsons, nephews, and their name is Jeter? There's a lot of people who named their children Jeter. I have a couple of cousins named Jeter, all because of Derek Jeter. And what's interesting is there are 397 people, sports writers, who vote for the Hall of Fame, and 396 voted for him, meaning only one sports writer did not vote for Derek Jeter. And they're thinking that sports writer is either covers the Red Sox, the Boston Red Sox, or the New York Mets, and has a personal issue, a personal vendetta with Derek Jeter. And there's a lot of people who believe that that sports writer's vote should be taken away from him for not voting for Derek Jeter, because he's obviously 396 out of the 397 guys who vote on that voted for Jeter, but there was one person who, for whatever reason, had a hair up as you know where and said, I'm not voting for him this time around.
Well, maybe if they switched to that electronic vote and he pressed the wrong button by mistake, you know, he fat fingered it.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know which writer it was, because right now that sports writer is anonymous, but there's a lot of people who want to know who that person is. So how about that? Derek Jeter is in baseball's Hall of Fame, and boy, you know you're getting old when. I remember his rookie year in 1996. I remember that. Hey, you see who died? One of the Monty Python guys. Terry Jones. He died yesterday at 77 years old. You know, if you like campy comedy, campy British comedy, the Monty Python guys always made you laugh. The movies Monty Python and the Holy Grail and The Life of Brian, very funny stuff. You know, we had on another one of the Monty Python guys last year on our show, John Cleese. Called into the show, and we talked to him, and that was a lot of fun. But I saw that Terry Jones passed away. I mean, the Monty Python guys, you got Terry Jones, well, you had John Cleese, Eric Idle, Michael Palin, and Graham Chapman, and Terry Gilliam. Those are all of the Monty Python guys. And if you like some of that Brit humor, that English campy stuff, those guys, they were something back in the 70s and the 80s. But it was sad to see. He died of a form of dementia. Terry Jones, funny guy, one of the original Monty Python comedians, dead at age 77. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride, and I cannot believe what is going on in downtown New Orleans right now. We found out about it yesterday, and I didn't even want to believe it was true. I couldn't believe it was true. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Just found out yesterday Ozzy Osbourne announced that he has Parkinson's disease, and that sucks. I mean, it's amazing Ozzy Osbourne is still around with all of the drinking and all of the drugs and all the debauchery in his life. But he said that the last year or so it's been the worst year of his life, and they just announced yesterday that, well, here's a reason why. And so our thoughts are always with Ozzy. I remember when I was on the radio in Boston, this was either right around 1999, right around there, give or take a year. Ozzy came in the studio, and I interviewed him. And he was shaking a lot then. And that was, geez, that was 21, 22 years ago. But I think on that particular day, I think he was just in need of some alcohol. That's why he was shaking so much back then.
Oh, I thought he was starstruck because he met you and he was nervous.
He barely knew where he was. But he was a nice enough guy. You talk about one of the true legends in rock and roll. So our thoughts are with Ozzy, and hopefully he can handle this. And that's going to do it for our show this morning. Thank you for listening. Ginty is coming up next. He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.